listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. You know, you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. My wife can attest to that. As often as I use Google Maps, I don't know where I came from, and I often can't find my way back. Well, you don't want to find yourself like that with historical realities, so that's why we have historical speaking. Talking with Dr. Daniel Harmelink of the Concordia Historical Institute about what it means to be a Lutheran in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and how that history can inform our present and help us distinguish the way to go in our future. Dr. Harmelink, good morning.
Again. Good morning.
Yeah. So your wife said, where have you been?
That's
an honest question.
Not as much like that. I was more on the lines of, like, how did we get there last time? I don't know. I used an app. And she shakes her head at me. So.
Right. Well, just a reminder that, again, you know, Christianity is a historical religion. So every Sunday that we confess the Apostles' Creed, there's a little bit in there that reminds us that Christianity is a historical religion.
Yeah. Yep.
So I was talking to someone, and they had not received Christ in faith yet, but they said, why do you keep mentioning Pontius Pilate every Sunday when he's out, you know, he was not faithful to God's will?
Right.
It's like, well, because Christianity is grounded in history. This is why all of these novels saying that if the bones of Christ were to be rediscovered, that would not be a good thing for Christians.
Right.
So, again, God loves history. He created it. So the church should love its history, too, because, again, it's not the church's history. It's the Lord's history, of Christ redeeming what would otherwise be unredeemable. So this is not all about us.
We all love stories. I mean, that's why we go to the movies. That's why we read books. A lot of people read books. We love stories. And that's what history is at its best, is real stories. And that's where the inspiration will often come from. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned that Pontius Pilate thing, not to go down the rabbit hole too far on it, but we were just talking about Pontius Pilate in the text for today. And I remember being told a story about a conversation with an early liberal. And by this, I mean, you know, 1880s to 1940s style. Well, the Bible's mostly true, but it's got some errors in it. But it really doesn't matter because the Christ of history is not what we believe in. We believe in the Christ of faith. And so this person was saying effectively, I can accept the entire Apostles' Creed except for one line. And that one line was under Pontius Pilate.
Wow.
Because that made it history. And he wanted it just to be a story.
The Jesus of my heart.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, got a couple, you're going to make me say this word on the radio now. We got historical potpourri for you today.
Correct.
What does that smell like? I don't know. The Faces of the Reformation study that we've been doing the last week, every month, for a couple months now, has some new studies that are going to be released, and they're coming up once a month this fall, and John Calvin's, golly, going to be the next one.
It's just a rumor that this is Faces of the Reformation, we're going to have one a month for the next 100 years. That's not true, but it will go on through October 31st of this year. So right on the website, on the LutheranReformation.org website, you can see, 20 of the 25 Faces of the Reformation. These are people that were influential in the 16th century Reformation, and really gives a human face to what God restored, what God brought back from the dead. Through Luther and the Reformation. So right now, I think Charles V is the most recent installment. So everyone knows maybe Charles V, but who was he and how did his life? It was very different than the life of Martin Luther, even though they were big players.
Right.
The time of the Reformation.
I mean, if we're going to keep that story motif going, I mean, these are the characters, and they're complex characters with lots of edges to them. And so even like a guy like John Calvin, who isn't like our favorite guy, but he was huge, and he wasn't bad either. I mean, he did some really good things. And he kind of is living in the same area as Martin Chemnitz, who's coming up. Andreas Karlstadt, if you don't know Karlstadt, then you don't understand the threats to the Lutheran Church that will ever be present with the kind of the mystical, radical attacks. I mean,
if you want some drama in the Reformation story, go to Karlstadt. While Luther was in Wittenberg doing the God-pleasing work of translating the Bible into the language of the people, Karlstadt was back in Wittenberg smashing statues.
Yeah. He was a nut. The guy was a, but anyway. Yeah. So you mentioned resources for celebrating the Reformation, which is what LutheranReformation.org is about. So mm-hmm. you definitely, if you haven't looked there, pastors, people, look there and think about what you're doing for this 500th anniversary of the Reformation. This doesn't happen more than once in a lifetime. Ever. So, you know, do something as a congregation for it. You can find resources there. And another another wonderful resource you can get from CHI.org, Concordia Historical Institute.org, is a little booklet here called How Should Our Congregation Celebrate Its Anniversary? And, you know, I've seen plenty of after the anniversary annuals in a number of congregations I've served in. But this thing is just replete with ways to make a whole year's celebration really come off.
Right. So the first thing that we want to ask people is get these congregational anniversaries, get these important dates to commemorate in the life of your congregation, in your church and school. Be aware of them. Hmm. Unfortunately, at Concordia Historical Institute, we have instances where people call and say, hey, we just found out that it was our 100th anniversary last year. And it's like, ouch. Oops.
Yeah, right.
So
try that with your wife.
Exactly. That's why we have apps that remind us of wedding anniversaries and things like that. But it's the same thing with a congregation. What a lost opportunity to, again, trumpet what Christ has done in years and decades in a congregational history. So first of all, find out the congregation that you're a member of or the school that your children go to. Find out their anniversaries so that you can get plugged into this planning. Again, this doesn't happen by fiat. Mm-hmm. So when people say, well, how, you know, we've got 6 months, it's like, oh, well, you're already under the gun.
Yeah.
You would be surprised at the number of people that call Concordia Historical Institute and say, hey, we have our anniversary service this Sunday. Do you have any information on previous pastors here?
Oof.
And it's like, well, wait a minute. We need some time. The congregation needs some time. So I would say a good year and a half, almost 2 years before your scheduled year of anniversary. And again, we would suggest that you have multiple events, not just, okay, we have one Sunday in June that, you know, 20% of your people are going to be on vacation and not be able to attend, but have multiple worship services, have multiple events to celebrate your anniversary so that as many people as possible can be involved.
So like maybe like every year, and I wish I'd thought about, I can't even talk about implementing this now, but every year you maybe just have the anniversary service for this year, right? So 1 year at a time, but then every 5 years it's a little bigger, every 10 years it's a little bigger, every, you know, you go 20, you go 30, you go 50, it gets huge, right? Once you're sitting at that 100, man, that's like a big deal, which again is why this 500th is such a big deal. What I love about this document is how right off the bat you got basically a checklist for how to go about this. Form a comprehensive committee, budget ample funds, involve the congregation in a variety of events across the year, and so forth. This document, if you're thinking about this or you've never thought about this, I wish I'd had this in my hands as a pastor. I can say that without holding back.
So the first thing is, you know, people say, well, it's not in our budget. Well, put it, you know, make plans for that. And then again, you'll find out that when it comes to photographs or stories about the early times of the congregation, sometimes those resources are not in the church office in the drawer, but they are with the charter members that have the photographs and things like that. So you have to get the word out that, hey, we're looking for historical primary source material. And again, that takes time. Maybe you're talking to families that have walked away from the congregation, but their parents or their grandparents were involved, and they actually have things in the scrapbook or in their drawer.
I want to go back. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off at the end there. I want to go back to it's not in your budget, because I think that's another good one to try with your wife when she asks about the anniversary. It's not in the budget. No, like this is important, right? That's kind of the whole point. Okay, so speaking of, this wasn't quite an anniversary event, but this was a synodical event that took place. Was this last summer you were saying?
Right, last summer after the LCMS convention, all of the new officers that were elected needed to be installed, officially installed into their office. So last summer, the place for that installation was Holy Cross Lutheran Church in St. Louis at the corner of Miami and Ohio, I think it is. And that event, we offered a tour of the neighborhood. And it's just, it is unbelievable how much Lutheran Church history occurred in that block,
right
down on Jefferson in Miami. So we produced a large format kind of walking tour graphic talking about the history, and there's a number of buildings that some of them aren't there anymore, but
a number of
locations that this is where it all began.
Walther's house. CPH is still down there. Holy Cross is still down there. Seminary Row, where all these professors' names, Pieper, Feuerbringer, Grabner, Mueller, where they all lived. And so this resource, I want to talk about where people could get their hands on it if they'd like it. But I'm just really curious about this. I'm gonna back up. You go from Holy Cross Lutheran School to CFW Walther's house to CPH to the Lutheran Hospital to the Bavarian Branch Brewery.
Oh, you saw that?
I did see that. What was that about? It was sold to Anheuser-Busch in 1891. So we obviously didn't hold on to it for very long, but a Lutheran named Theodore Eckerle was brewing beer?
Well, yes, please? But he had no connection with the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod.
Oh, that ruins my happiness.
So I just put that in there just to put a beer reference in there. But that was the way Anheuser-Busch rose to the top, is if they had any competitors,
they bought them.
They wouldn't improve their product.
Right.
They would just buy them out. So I haven't found a connect. Again, the Bavarians are different than the Saxons. So probably in the time of C.F.W. Walther, Bavarian Germans and Saxon Germans, that would be a mixed marriage.
Yes.
That would be a scandal.
Yes. With just a little over a minute left here, where can they get their hands on this if people
sure.
like to see this?
Give us a call at Concordia Historical Institute. 314-505-7900, and we can either give you a PDF of this resource, or we can mail you this. Same thing with the little booklet.
How should
our congregation celebrate its anniversary? Take this to your pastor, or take this to the principal of your school, and please make plans. It's a fantastic opportunity to again celebrate God's grace. But it does take some hard lifting in the months before the anniversary.
Right. Just think about how much work goes into VBS, and then try to expand above that. It really should be a bigger deal than that once your 100th anniversary. So think about that, and then apply that to a whole year. And you got a lot to do, and it's going to bring it together. It's going to give you something to do. It's going to give it identity. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff all the way around. Talking this morning with Dr. Daniel Harmelink of Concordia Historical Institute. Historically speaking, again, ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org for any of the resources mentioned this morning. Get the phone number there. If you don't find it there and give them a call, they'll get it to you. Thank you, Dr. Harmelink, for being with us today.
Blessings, Jonathan.
I'll tell you what, my friends out there in the universe, Pontius Pilate, real man, bad man, weak man, just like you and me. Face to face with the Lord of heaven and earth, didn't know what to do. But by the gift of the Holy Spirit, you do. You do believe who he is. You know that what he did when he was killed was for you. And that what he refused to do after he was killed, which is stay dead, was for you also. And as a result of that, his ascension, he is going to be coming back sometime soon to fix everything the way you know it always should have been. Now, that's what we're looking forward to, that life of the world to come. And it could be today, it could be tomorrow, but in either case, even if it's not, I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.